Tonight we're going to look at a lesson. We do have a handout for this lesson. Look at a lesson about our commitment to God. We're going to look at what and how and why that we need to be committed to God. And this lesson is designed to help us to have a deeper commitment to God and be appreciate what God has done for us and how we can be better committed to the cause of Christ that we have. We're going to look and see what that means and have a richer, fuller meaning of that. Our lesson text is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You know, Paul was a committed man. Paul was one who went on 3 preaching trips. He was one who knew what it's like to suffer for the name of Christ, to do what was right and to have this suffering come upon him. This was something we commend him for, being the one who was the bulwark of our faith, one who was strong in the faith. And you know, one reason why he was strong in the faith, because he knew who he was serving. And we all need to know who we're serving and be committed just like Paul was to the living of the Christian life. This evening, let's look at some of the things about how we can do that very thing. Let's look at what commitment is tonight. First of all, the definition of commitment is this, or is this one place I found, it says, solemn commitment of your life or your time to some cherished purpose, service, or goal. And I believe that's a good general picture of what commitment is, that we give our life and our time to something we believe in, something that obligates us. We put pledges and promises into that very commitment that we make. And that's something we need to do. As far as the living the Christian life is, if you've not made a deep commitment to God, you need to tonight, to pledge yourself and promise to God that I'm going to be committed to you 100% of everything I am. I'm going to do that for your service and your kingdom. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight, that kind of solemn and purposeful commitment that we ought to have toward God. And what does commitment look like? I believe we can see commitment. I believe that when people are committed, that it can be something tangible that we can see with our eyes. We can know that those who are zealous for the cause of Christ, because they have a devotion and commitment to what they're doing. And in general, the world, I believe life teaches us about how to have a commitment. You know, if we're going to have any kind of success in life, if we're going to have any kind of really blessings and promises out of life, we've got to learn that we've got to be committed to whatever our hand finds for us to do. Take, for instance, our work, our profession, or occupation. All 3 of those refer to the same thing, that when we go out and try to find a job, that we've got to be committed to the work of that job. That if we're not, if we are uncommitted, it will show in the kind of work that we do for our employer. And so we've got to say, we've got to be there on time. We've got to put in a full day's work and work hard for the person that we're working for. And that's the kind of thing. We make sacrifices in our commitment to a job. We've got to get up. Some of you may get up early, maybe at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, to get to your jobs. And so that's giving up our time and putting ourselves into that. That's really sometimes the job that we do. Has some kind of identity. We have some kind of identity with what we're doing. And so it becomes part of our life, if you will. And life teaches us to be that way, to commit ourselves to that kind of work in that way. But also, marriage is one of the greatest commitments that you can ever make. When you say, "I do" to someone, you are promising and pledging to them that I'm going to be there for you for thick and thin, for better or worse, or rich or poor, in sickness and health. And that is one of the greatest commitments that we could ever make. And I believe that that's something we've got to put our heart into. We've got to put every bit of us into that commitment. If it's the marriage is going to be successful, we're going to have a good and loving marriage, it's going to have to be there that way. And we know what happens many times when people are uncommitted. That is what happens, like when you're someone's dating and you have prospects for marriage. You know, sometimes there's been men, sometimes will say this thing, that, "Well, I don't want to really commit myself to this relationship." Well, marriage is something you have to commit yourself to, that relationship. And before you choose to marry someone, they've got to be committed to that commitment of marriage. And you know one thing about this was, if someone says to you, "Well, I don't want to put all my eggs in that one basket." Well, we've got to put all of our eggs in that basket in order to be committed to our spouse. And what I mean is, we've got to give all of self into that marriage to make it work. But then there's also people who are committed to sports, recreation, and entertainment. Let's take, for instance, the sports. I know football is big here in this state. And that's one thing that people are committed to. The athletes, they've got to be committed to that job for the team. They've got to go out there and give 110%. And I've often wondered how a person could do that, give 110%. But yet, that's what the coach usually says. They've got to give that much. Well, what about in the Christian life? We can put it that way. Do we give 110% for that? But you know, we see how sports athletes, they'll give their blood and their tears and their sweat, and they'll do all that just to see the team win the big game. And that's a wonderful, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, because they need to be committed to winning the sports. And that's how the effort, with effort there is the success that goes along with that. And so there's commitment that's needed in that area. And those who are fans of the football teams and such, they'll go out in the pouring rain. They'll wear the ponchos because the rain's coming down and the snow is on the ground. And they'll go out there and they enjoy it. They want to cheer on their team to the victory. And that's good because there's people who need to have that kind of support behind the team to have them to win the games. But I'll tell you, that's commitment, isn't it? To go out in pouring rain, darkness of night, and to see the teams play and such. That shows us what commitment is in the secular world. When it comes to recreation, there's people who will go out boating and camping, and they will give up their time, they'll give their effort to all this, and it's well and good. They need to do that for some relaxation. Then there may be entertainment. There's some who have hobbies. They have their favorite hobbies. They'll spend their time, their resources in, maybe boating, camping, or fishing. You ever see that sign somebody has on their bumper sticker says, "I'd rather be fishing"? Well, that's a committed fisher. He's one who'd rather be out there fishing than at work sometimes. But we cannot say that when it comes to we'd rather be fishing than be at the house of God. We've got to be more committed than anything else to the cause of God and His way. You know, I'm talking about now commitment and devotion to God. And what do we give? What do we give to God in reference to that? Well, we give our time, don't we? And we come here Sunday morning and for Bible studies. We come here Sunday night for services like this. You know, you're sacrificing your time here. You know, there's other things you could be doing, but you've chosen the good part. Like Jesus told Mary, that she had chosen the good part which cannot be taken away from her. And so you and I know what it means to sacrifice, use well our time for the cause of Christ. And so that shows us what commitment. Oh, we've committed our time to being here, to Bible studying, to learning the Scriptures, to service to God, going out and visiting the sick and caring for the needy. All that's time well spent when it comes to the service of God. We spend also our money. There'll be times we may spend of our own resources. There'll be times when we will do this because we are committed. We want the cause of God to succeed. And succeed it must. And it's the cost of money and time and effort, our service to God. All of that shows us how God wants us to be in committed followers of Him. We talked about last Sunday night about following Jesus. And we'll get back to that next Sunday, this coming Sunday night, Lord willing. But you know, this kind of service is what it means to follow Jesus devotedly. You know, our heart has to be in our service to God. That's one thing we've got to do, is learn to put ourselves into what we're doing. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? Though I have the tongues of angels and have all these, if I give my body to be burned without love, it profits me nothing. And so we've got to have a heart of service and sacrifice to God. Remember what Ezra did back in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And you and I have got to have that same commitment. I believe Ezra was looking for a commitment toward God. Before he would start to teach the Israelites the law of the Lord, he had to commit himself that he would do that and follow through with that. You and I have to do the same thing. If we're going to serve God faithfully, we've got to put our hearts, prepare our hearts to serve God the right way. Let's look at now how we do that. We've looked at what needs to be done, or at some parts of that. But how do we do this? How do we make this great commitment and follow through with it? First of all, I would say we need to do some self-examination. You know, we think about how committed really we are to the cause of Christ. And I'm talking to several people this evening in the audience. Maybe think about your life and really how dedicated am I, or how committed am I really to the cause of Christ? Do I need increase in this? This is something we not need to ask ourselves in this lesson by self-examination. Do I need to increase in my commitment to God to have a full commitment toward God? Now, I believe there are several levels of commitment. I believe that between full commitment and no commitment at all, that there's several levels in between that. First of all, I want to talk about the idea of being sometimes people are mostly committed. And this is the idea that some want to give almost everything to the cause, but they're not quite all to the full commitment. And then there is the idea of the halfway committed, where we're halfway committed, we've got other obligations, and you know, we do realize we've got jobs, we've got other things that, you know, I'm talking about the idea that we sometimes give almost all of ourselves. Then there is the somewhat committed and the barely committed. There's a song, I don't know if it's in this book, I don't believe it's in the Sacred Selections book, but there's a song entitled "None of Self and All of Thee." And there, what this song really portrays is a man who comes to faith in Christ. And here at the beginning of it, it's all of self and none of Christ. But then he starts to be a Christian for some time. And he realizes, I've got to commit myself fully to the cause. And he starts out then some of self and some of thee. And then at the end of this, it's most of self or all of self and all of you, Jesus Christ. None of self and all of thee. That's really what we're trying to do as children of God. We want to fully commit ourselves. And I have to be honest with you. There have been times in my life as a young person, teenager, following Christ, that I can say I was just barely committed to the cause. That I really wasn't where I ought to be in the cause of Christ. But you know what? We've got to put all of our heart, like we say, 110% into the cause of Christ. The question of the hour is, what kind of commitment does Christ want from us? In Revelation 3, verse 16, Jesus was talking about the church of Laodicea when he said, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." You know what Jesus was saying here? He was saying because they had a middle road of commitment, because their love really and their zeal wasn't where it should have been. You know, God wants us to have hot zeal. In other words, to be boiling, zealous for Him. And so we need to think about where our commitment is. Are we a spectator when it comes to following God, or are we someone who involves ourselves totally to the cause of Christ? We're willing to go out and sacrifice and do what needs to be done for the cause of Christ. But how is that to be done? First of all, I believe it starts with love for God. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus was asked a question. They asked Him what was the greatest commandment. And Jesus responded. I don't believe He had to hesitate. He knew what that greatest commandment was. The Bible says in verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." You know, if we're going to be committed, we've got to love God more than anything else, like Jesus is talking about here, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and our strength. That's truly what it means to be loving and committed toward God. And a person loves God that much, they'll be committed 100% for His cause. In John chapter 21, I want to read about John chapter 21. I want to read what happened. Remember the story when Peter denied the Lord three times? And there was, Jesus had to go and find Peter, and when He found Peter, or Peter met with Jesus, the Bible tells us there was a Jesus and Peter had some words and discussed some things. And John chapter 21, the Bible speaks about here in verse 15, beginning, says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." You know, this was something that was said after Jesus knew what Simon would do. You know, Peter had said at one time, I'll follow you wherever, and I'll even lay down my life for you. But Jesus already knew that he would deny him three times. And even prophesied of it. He told him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times. And what Peter needed was to make a commitment to our Lord. And what Jesus asked him was, do you love me? And I would say the same to us tonight. If we have let down the Lord like Peter did. And we are needing to confirm again that we love the Lord. Because I truly believe that love for God and the commitment that we ought to have goes hand in hand in our service to God. And Peter was, like Jesus said, so when you are converted, Luke 22, I believe, tells us, when Jesus said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Peter needed to feed his lambs. And Jesus knew that. He knew that he needed to make a commitment. Three times he was told to tell Jesus that he loved him. That was something that was in the heart of Peter. And was grieved because he realized that third time why Jesus said three times, Simon, do you love me? Because it was Jesus knew that Simon Peter cursed and swore that he did not even know Jesus Christ when he was warming his hands by the fire. And so we need to have a love for God that goes hand in hand with our commitment. In Revelation 12, verse 11, here the Bible says about those, says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I believe he's talking about some who gave their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know one thing? They had to love God more than they even loved their lives. And that's something that comes through when we love God more than our own self. Remember what Jesus also said in Revelation 2, verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. It's one thing to say, I love God and I would do anything. I'd even die for Him. Kind of like what Peter did before he denied the Lord. It's one thing to say that, but it's also another thing to know that if that actually happens, that we would follow through with that and die for our Lord. When we see the execution standing before us, ready to take our life, that would be something that we could say, you know, I could die for the cause of God. I love the Lord and His work, His kingdom that much, that I would do that for my Master. And how is we've got to put God first. You know, before we can die before Him, for the Lord, we've got to put God first before anything. And I believe that starts with our heart. It starts with that love for God, knowing that we have to love Him and His Word and His kingdom. But it starts that in that place, in the heart. Matthew 6:33. Remember what Jesus said? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't have to worry about your necessities as much. If you put God first, you won't have to worry about those things. You know, God takes care of His people and those who put the kingdom of God first. And what does that look like? We put God first. It means coming to service, attendance. I know there's some of you that would feel bad if we did not attend services every time the doors of the church are open. That there is pangs in our conscience because we know we love God. And we put God before anything. I know there's some sick tonight that would rather be here with us, worshiping with the saints of God tonight. And that's the kind of thing is we put that first. It's in our heart to make it first. We're that committed that we'll do that. We want God more than anything else in this world. And that our worship to Him is something that we could not go a Sunday without. Without that kind of saying, well, I wish I could be with my heart's with the saints of God because I know I want to be there. And prayer is a big part of our life. You know, prayer is something that shows we're committed. Our prayer life and our attendance and our worship, I believe, are barometers. They're indicators that we really are committed to the cause of Christ. When we are zealous for these things, the things of God, His righteousness, His kingdom, it shows in our lives. We can see that in the lives of others who are zealous and committed to God. We know what that looks like because we can see the faith of some who are like this. It also means making choices, making right choices. You know, we need to be more committed to God than anything else. We must be more committed to God than sin. Isn't that true? You know, sin that so easily besets us can cause us to lose our commitment for God. But if we repent of our sins and get back to service to God. And know that I'm going to rededicate every time I sin. I've got to get up in the morning and say, you know, Lord, I know I've sinned, but I want to make this commitment to you. I'm going to give you this day to serve you faithfully, to do all I can to serve you and be dedicated in your kingdom today. Then we've got to love Jesus more than the love of this world. There are some, the Bible tells us, that didn't make this commitment, or they lost this commitment. Remember Demas in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas went back on his commitment to God, but yet he was at one time a faithful servant of God. And if we are not totally committed to God, that can happen to us. If the world can creep into our lives, if the world can slowly, like watching grass grow, we can, well, I don't really think I'll go to services this evening. I've got a headache. I know sometimes people don't let things like that bother them. And they come, you know, like one sister said, I feel bad at home, I feel bad here, but I'd rather be here than be anywhere else. When the saints of God are assembling at the services of the church. You know, that's what it means to love God more than anything else. Love the world. And love a family. We've got to put even family. But, you know, family is your closest connection that you have. But, you know, that's something also that will maybe even test. If something comes up and the family says, well, you know, we don't want you to serve God, we've got to be more committed even than our commitments to our families. That's something that's hard. That's a hard choice, isn't it, to make in this time. Or it may be riches and material gain. I think about the rich young ruler who Jesus met on occasion, Matthew chapter 19. I want to read about what happened here. I know they had it in my last lesson last time, but we neglected to look at that. But there was a man who came to Jesus, and he wanted to know, good master, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him, he said, keep the commandments. And he said, which? And Jesus said in verse 18, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. You know what Jesus knew about this young man was? He knew he was more committed to the material things of this life, to the riches that he had, because he was a rich young ruler. That he had a lot of potential, that he had a lot of things also that caused him not to follow God. And we can't let anything come between us and our service to God. And why is that? Because I truly believe, we have the greatest cause worthy of total commitment. There are a lot of people who are committed to a lot of things. And I'm not saying they're bad things in general, because I believe a lot of them are good things. Saving endangered species and maybe saving the planet in some respects. I don't know if we can save this planet or not, because Jesus one day will destroy this planet. There are people who will save animals from torture and these animals, abused animals, and they give their lives over to these kind of things. They have cause and commitment. They put their whole life into these things. But what about the service of God? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what we have is something that's not going to end after this life. We have a cause that is the greatest cause on the face of this planet. We're in the business of saving souls. We're in the business of preaching the gospel, doing what Jesus said in the Great Commission, preaching to all the world that they need to obey the Savior and follow Him all the days of their life. That's the greatest commitment you can ever make, because we have the greatest cause that there ever is. And that God has committed so much to our salvation. You know, He gave the best that heaven had to offer. He didn't give the worst. He didn't send some angel to die on the cross for us. He sent His only begotten Son to die for us, that we could be free from our sins. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? It says that Jesus sent the best. And He sent the Word to the prophets. And He sent through hundreds and hundreds of years, He's made a way for us to be saved from our sins today. And one day we'll be in heaven with God. Only because God was committed that He would not let us go to a devil's hell. And then we also need to encourage others to be committed as well. You know, when they see our commitment, hopefully they'll say, I want to be committed too. Maybe you've seen someone who seems like a great person of faith who's totally committed to the Lord. And say, I admire that person. And I've said I've seen people who I admire even here that have great commitment. And we've got to believe that way, because commitment can be contagious if we'll let it be. And then also that the work of God may prosper. You know, the more committed we are to the cause of Christ, the more committed we are to salvation and the souls of others, the more we'll get done. You know, we'll be more zealous. We'll be more out there beating the bushes, trying to do all we can that the work of God here at Boonville will prosper as it should. Souls will be saved. And then finally, so that you'll be saved. You know, the devil's always out to try to get us to do things that are wrong. He's like that roaring lion that Peter says, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if we're not 100% committed to the cause of Christ, then he may get us to follow him instead of God. Because I believe if we don't put our whole service and our whole heart in him, we may miss heaven because of a lack of commitment. And wouldn't that be sad? Because that's something you can choose. That's something you can choose to be 100% committed tonight. But will you? Will you put on Christ and keep putting him on and be committed to the very day you die for his service? We're asking you to do that tonight. If you obey the gospel, maybe you've not stepped out in commitment for the cause of Christ. Maybe you need to put on Christ so that you can be a committed follower of Christ. And you do that by faith, by repentance of your sins, by confession of that wonderful name of Christ, that he is the only begotten Son of God. And then you are baptized into water for the very remission of your sins. There the blood of Christ will cleanse you. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Will you come tonight? Will you follow Jesus committedly as together we stand and sing the song of invitation?